Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
Today we're starting a new series called Reminded. A new series called Reminded. We want to look at what Jesus has called us to and what stands between us and fulfilling our calling. We're going to revisit this verse a few times going through this series. Many of you will know this verse, and so it's Romans 12, verse 2, and it says this: Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, I just thank you for the privilege, Lord, to come and share your word this morning. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to hide me behind the cross. Let my words be your words. Speak through me today. Lord, I pray that people in this room and watching online hear your voice, and that, Lord, you impact them, you encounter them, you challenge them, and you encourage them. And that this morning, Father, we leave here changed, knowing who we are and your will better in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. When we renew our minds from the things of this world, then and only then will we be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. What we have to understand, what almost you have to confess right from the beginning, is that the world you live in impacts you. It impacts the way you read scripture. It impacts your theology. It impacts how you see Jesus. As much as many of you will confess and be like, well, I'm a mature Christian, the world you live in affects you. And we have to renew our minds. We can no longer conform to the patterns of this world. And what I mean by that is our minds are impacted daily by the world that you live in. And it doesn't matter if you went through this and you said, well, Chad, I read this book, I did this study, I spent time with the Holy Spirit, and I worked through this a few years ago. You need to renew your mind daily, because this society blasts your mind daily with things of the world. And so therefore, we have to constantly renew our minds. See, when we shift our minds to the things of God, we will be able to trust him more. You'll be able to trust the Father way more when you continually renew your mind. So what is the first step in understanding God's will and renewing our minds? What is the first thing that we have to do and understand this? Well, look how Jesus taught us how to pray. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10, it says this: And then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We should pause there for a moment. We need to remember that just his name is holy. We need to remember that the Father is holy, that the Lord God is holy. So therefore, if we truly understand that he is holy, we find it easier to confess that he is God and he knows more than we know. Is there any way I can just get the house lights up a little higher? Do they go higher than that? There's just a lot of beautiful faces in the room, and I just want to see all of you. And if they don't go higher, it's just my eyes. Oh, there you are. Now I can see who's sleeping and who's not. We need to remind ourselves how holy he is. And then Jesus continues, he says this: Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to bring heaven to earth. That's his will. His will isn't that you live this life in expectation to get to heaven, and when you die, you get to go to heaven. What his will is that you get to experience heaven here as well. That's why Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He doesn't teach us to pray, your will be done on earth when I get to heaven. He wants you to experience it here and now. See, we live our lives waiting and hoping. But what if you can experience it while you're here? What if you can experience it while you're here? See, Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Some versions will say, have dominion over the earth. This is what God wants. This is what he designed. See, God wanted Adam and Eve to subdue the earth and rule over all the animals on the earth. Now, I want you to look at the beginning of the verse. What does he say at the beginning? He says, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth. So what this means is that Adam and Eve, what they experienced in the garden, wasn't meant to be fenced in and kept in a garden. They were supposed to take it to all the earth. That means the way they walked and talked with Jesus in the cool of the night, you and I are supposed to experience. Take it to all the earth. When we read that, that wasn't just meant for them. That was meant for each and every one of us. You are meant to walk and talk with the Father. You are supposed to have dominion over the earth. You are supposed to rule over all of the animals, over creation. See, the problem when I share that with you, the reason that you don't say amen, the reason you don't agree, the reason you sit there staring at me isn't because you're tired. You sit staring at me because you need to renew your mind. Because what happens is we look at theology, we look at scripture, we look at God's promises, and we filter it through our experiences. See, none of us want to confess that our theology is purely based on our experiences. But that's what your theology is based on. Chad, I prayed for this and it didn't happen. Chad, I know that's what you're saying, but that's not what I've experienced. I understand that. But it doesn't change theology. It doesn't change the promises of God. What it actually emphasizes is who is God. You and I are not him. He's going to do stuff that I cannot explain. I wish I could. But here's the crazy part. If we could explain, a lot of us wouldn't want to understand. A lot of us wouldn't want to know the truth. See, when you read in the Exodus story and Moses leads them out of Egypt, the fastest route to the promised land was through Palestine. But scripture tells us that God took them the long route. I hate the long route. Why does our GPS's on our phone, why does Google Map actually pop up and say, would you like to take this route? It's 5 minutes slower. I was driving off Manitoulin Island a couple Sundays ago, and just as I was getting off the island, it showed me a different route, and it said, would you like to take this route? It's 26 minutes slower. No! None of us want the long route. Autocorrect if it saves me a minute. You know there's somebody out, God, for a Sunday morning drive? Yep, reroute me. But see, the scripture goes on and says that God knew that if they went through Palestine, they would have encountered war. And if they would have encountered hardship, any more hardship, they would have turned back. I don't know why God takes us on the long route. I don't understand why he's turned you right or turned you left or put the yield sign on. I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. The only thing I can tell you is scripture tells me that he's wise, that he knows. And the route you're on is the route that you need to be on. Now hear me. I'm saying this to myself. The route that you need to be on isn't always the route that you like. But can I tell you something? Looking back in my life, do you know how thankful I am God didn't take me on the routes that I liked? Because the routes that I liked wouldn't necessarily lead me to where I am today. As Adam and Eve experience walking with God, that's what we are supposed to experience. I'm going to read some stuff here that's going to challenge you, but it doesn't change what Scripture says. What Adam and Eve experienced was no sickness, having joy and peace and happiness. And this is what God wanted them to take and fill the earth with. See, then sin entered the world, and it took that joy, it took that peace and happiness. It brought sickness and confusion with it. So this is the world that we live in. But this is why Paul tells us that we need to renew our minds and no longer conform to the patterns of this world. See, people have forgotten that God created us to be with him. You and I are meant to walk daily with the Father. You and I were created to be in relationship with the Father, sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. People have lost their identity in Christ. You and I, we are his children. Therefore, people don't know who they are. We've lost our identity. We see this throughout our whole society. People searching for their identity, confused of their identity. Confused of where their identity comes from. But see, when we look at Scripture and we remind ourselves who we are and who we should follow, then our identity lines up and our strength comes. So this morning I asked the question of who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? See, the Christian response, if you grew up in church, your natural response in your mind right away is, I belong to Jesus. And I believe it. I want to encourage you this morning that you do if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior and he lives in your life. I want to read you a scripture. Paul continues in Romans, and in Romans 6, verse 16, he says this, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So now that we kind of clarify, who do you serve? Who do you belong to? So who do you obey? Who do you follow? Who do you conform to? Do you conform to Jesus? Do you conform to Jesus, or do you conform to the patterns of this world? I'm 43 years old. I've grown up in the church. I remember sleeping on the front pew on Sunday nights after the message was preached. Maybe during. I don't remember. I was little. But I remember when the altars were open, nobody looked at a watch. Nobody actually even cared what the altar call was. They just wanted Jesus. So they came to the front and they just spent time in his presence praying and worshiping the Father. And that's why I slept on the pew. Because as a little kid, you didn't know how to pray for a long time. You didn't know how to wait in the presence of the Lord. But I'll tell you what it taught me was that the presence of the Lord was more important than whatever side of this room. Now, I want to teach you something. This is how I wrestle now with who do I follow? Do I conform to the Word of God? Do I conform to Jesus? Or do I conform to the patterns of this world? Now, understand, 43 years ago, I don't remember when I was an infant, so let's go 30 years ago. I was 13. It's still a little blurry, but I think I remember. We'll go 30 years ago. There was a lot of things the church did that was pure religious. Laws, rules, that were probably a little too far, a little what we call now legalistic. But you want to know how we corrected legalism? I believe that we were in a ditch. Sorry to all the camera people. We're in a ditch of legalism. Not all of it was good. But to correct it, you want to know what we did? We ran out of this ditch to grace. Did I go faster than the cameras? Did they lose me? Yes. Speed, lightning. But we ran to this ditch. God's grace, God's mercy. And you want to know who taught us this ditch? Some of the church, but a lot of the world. When you define where you should stand with the Father by gray areas and not holiness and righteousness, you're conforming to the patterns of this world. If that strikes you in a nerve, I'm letting you know, I believe it's accurate. Instead of going, well, I'm not in the ditch, I'm just right on the edge. Holiness and righteousness is in the middle. Understand me, this is not holiness and righteousness either. We like to believe this is, and it puts on a good front. But there's a lot of people that are so far into the legalistic, they're just as full of demonic stuff and just sin and stuff. It's just a front. But what you have to realize is here's what's happened in the church. Here was our line. This was holiness and righteousness. And the world was right here. Who wants to be the world? Steve, can you're right here. Come on up. Understand, I think Steve's great. He's not the world. But this was the separation. Church, world. There was a line. All of you here will say amen if I say our society has just gone to pot. And in some cases, literally. Didn't mean for that to happen, just came out. Just the way the Holy Spirit flows in the mornings. we realize that society is not godly. So it continues, forget that that's the like grace ditch, that's now sin, okay? Just take a few steps that way, Steve. A couple more. So we see the world going that way. None of us will deny that. Am I right? All of us believe the world just keeps going. Here's what we have to honestly confess. We haven't stayed here. No, stay there. There's still a gap, so we're okay. Watch this. Stay right there. Now I'm about the same height. Feels good. I know other people notice it. He's not on the floor, and they're about the same height. I'm 43 years old. There's not really many short jokes I haven't heard yet. Actually, if you say one to me that I haven't heard, I actually give you credit. That's not asking for them either, just to clarify. That's not permission to come up and insult me. I know there's many guys in the room that are like, oh, my wife's not here this morning. I could have insulted them after. Look where I'm standing. I'm in the ditch of sin. But because the world is here, I still feel okay. This is why we can't conform to the patterns of the world, but we need to be renewed. We need to renew our minds. Thanks, Steve. We do things in the church and we allow things in the church that we used to never allow. Now, understand me. There was things over here that we said you shouldn't do and we weren't allowed, and it was just human-created rules and laws. And that's why many people left the church. But do you want to know why the church isn't as relevant as it should be today? Because people can't tell the difference. How are you supposed to help your neighbor when your life looks the same? What wisdom do you have? When you respond to situations the same way as your coworkers, what are you going to teach them? You and I should look and act and behave differently. You trying to connect with your neighbors by doing the same thing with them doesn't make you relevant. It actually makes you irrelevant. Because you have nothing to offer them. I heard a pastor say this one time, and it's so true. Anybody here, and I'm not trying to send you out, anybody here not able to swim? Anybody? Not able to swim? A few people? How many of you, I have a pool, okay? We have a shallow end, it's fantastic, it's big, but we also have a deep end with a wonderful cannonball. See, it's a cannonball board, it's not even a diving board. You can tell where my athleticism has gone to. I don't even call it a diving board, just cannonballs. How many of you would want to jump off my diving board into the deep end of my pool if Melissa and I both couldn't swim? Anybody? So what if I told you that Melissa used to be a lifeguard, can still swim? How many of you now like, I feel a little bit safer. I might not jump off the diving board, but I will go in your pool. Anybody? They're still like, no. A couple of like, oh, maybe I'll give it a whirl. So here's the thing. If I'm going swimming somewhere and I'm nervous, I want somebody to be a better swimmer than me. When I board a plane, we just got back from Israel. When I walked onto that plane, if I looked at the pilot like, hey, you're the pilot today? Yep. How long have you been flying for? Actually, this is my first time on a jet. Excuse me? Yeah, don't worry. I just want you, like, you and I, we're going to connect as we do this. No, you want somebody who knows what they're doing. You want somebody to be different. How am I supposed to speak into somebody's marriage if I'm not working on my own? How am I supposed to speak into somebody's marriage if I'm not serving my wife? How am I supposed to speak into somebody's life when my life is the exact same as theirs? We need to be transformed. Because see, here's what the Bible says. Colossians 3, verse 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature. Wondering what belongs to your earthly nature? Wondering what I'm talking about being in the ditch over here? These things. Sexual immorality. Just so we understand, sexual immorality does not just talk about one group in our society today. Can we clarify that? We like to point fingers. Now, don't get me wrong. Sexual immoral is sexual immoral. But what we have to realize in the church is any sexual activity outside of marriage is sexually immoral. So if you're single and you're doing things with somebody else of the opposite sex, still sexually immoral. If you are in a marriage relationship or outside of a marriage relationship and you are clicking on things you shouldn't click on and you're scrolling through things you shouldn't scroll on, sexually immoral. The things that we accept in church today, or the things we don't talk about. If you are living with somebody of the opposite sex, I understand immediately somebody's going to say to me, well, no, we're in a relationship, we're living together to save rent, but we're not doing anything like that. Flee from temptation. Flee from temptation. That's just the first one. Remember I said I wasn't sure how long the guy was going to preach for today? Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, look at all of it lumped together. Evil desires and greed. Such is idolatry. Idolatry. This is what Scripture tells us. If we lust after these things, if we have these things in our lives, they are idols before God. So who do we serve? Who do we belong to? Are you only thinking about getting more money? Who do you belong to? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Now, here's the promising part. Here's the promising part. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. Okay? So if you're still struggling in these areas, you need to know this scripture so that you can remind yourself, you can remind your spirit, you can remind your soul that you have the strength and the ability to break these things off of your life. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. There's more. There's more. Why is there more? I thought the other stuff was just enough. But there's more. See, here's the thing with the church. You might look at the first list and go, well, actually, Chad, I don't do any of those things. I don't click on things I shouldn't click on. I don't look at things I shouldn't look at. I'm in my marriage. I love my wife. We're faithful to one another. I actually am not greedy for money. God blesses me with money. I want to give it away. You talked last week about the love of money is the root of all evil. That's not me. I want God to bless me so I can give it away, and I'm faithful so he continues to do that. So actually, Chad, you know what? The first verse 5, 6, and 7, I'm good. Amazing. But a lot of us as Christians, we rate ourselves on those sins. I don't do these things. But now you must also rid yourself of such things as anger. Darn it all. Why is that one on the list? Anybody here wrestle with anger? Don't raise your hands. Right? Like, some of this starts to hit home. This list is going to hit home. Do me a favor. Promise each other right now. Maybe just promise yourself, I will not elbow my spouse. When Chad reads this list, I will only think of myself and no one else. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. See, here's the amazing thing with this. You can lie to me. You can lie to me. You can lie to the person sitting right beside you. But God knows all of it. Here's the incredible thing about marriage. Your spouse knows all of it. Do you know the amazing thing about your spouse? I saw this the other day and I thought it was so fantastic. You've probably seen it, so don't worry about it. But it says this. Your spouse is the only person that's ever chosen to love you. Your parents, they kind of have to. Now I say that to you, I want you guys to know, they truly love you, okay? Don't read that into that, they love you. Your kids kind of have to love you because they want food. Family loves you because you're family, your blood. Your spouse is the one who continually chooses every day to love you. And I can tell you, for Melissa, some days that choice is easy, and for some days it's not easy. But she chooses every day. They're the only one that does. We can't lie to them. So what comes out of you? When you read these verses, what comes out of you? Are the things in these verses coming out of you? Have you rid yourself of your old self? Have you got rid of it? Have you put it to death? Who do you obey? See, here's what you have to understand as we read through these lists. These are not struggles. These are not mistakes. These are not bad habits. These are sins. In the church, we just don't like to use the word sins when it refers to ourselves. Now, understand me when I say this. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he lives in you, I am not saying you're a sinner. I believe you're a saint, you're saved by grace, but your flesh, like mine, likes to show its ugly old face, and sometimes we have to deal with that. So what you have to realize is you're not a sinner, but you still sin. And if you say to me, well, no, Chad, I'm not sinning. That's my old self. Then you haven't put your old self to death. Therefore, it's still you. Don't let that beat you up. I'm not sitting here to beat you up. I want you to identify it so you know what to do with it. Many of you have gone through the process with doctors where you're like, oh, man, I'm still getting tests done. We're not sure what's going on. And the worst part of that experience is the not knowing. Chad, I just don't know how to get rid of this lust in my life. I don't know how to get rid of this greed. I don't know how to get rid of the swearing. I don't know how to get rid of the anger. I don't know how to get rid of the gossip. I don't know how to get rid of the lying. First off, own the fact that it's you. It's your old self, but you still have to put it to death. See, when I was driving the other day, I've been praying and asking God for something in my life. And all of a sudden, I started kind of daydreaming. Anybody daydream? Don't worry, I was driving. I was still paying attention. But I was driving, and I was daydreaming what I would do if God blessed me with what I was praying for. Nothing that I was daydreaming lined up with what I actually wanted to do. I was praying, so just so I realize we're talking about a whole pile of stuff, I better line this up and tell you what I was praying for, because they might be like, what was he thinking about? I was praying, okay, God, bless me financially so I can bless others. That's my heart. And all of a sudden, I started daydreaming of what I could do with money in my personal life if God blessed me. Buying all kinds of crazy stuff. Going on trips. I have no idea what I would do with the zebra, but it was on the list. It wasn't on the list. I'm just having fun. But all of a sudden, my mind was going in all these different places. Things I could buy, trips I could go on. And all of a sudden, I realized, God, this is not me. It's in my head. So, Lord, obviously, that's in my heart. Father, that's not why I'm praying for this. So I did what Scripture told me. I took captive my thoughts. I told the Father, God, that's not what I want it for. So forgive me of those thoughts. And then I asked this question. God, if you do this, what do you want me to do with your blessing? Man, I started daydreaming. My mind started going. And here's the amazing thing that happened. If God does what I'm praying for, I already know what he wants me to do with it. I already have his game plan. Some of you need to take a step of faith and not just ask God for something, ask him what he wants you to do with it. And watch him breathe life into you. We need to walk in our new selves and renew our minds. See, Galatians 5:22-23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. That's what should come out of us. That's your new self. This is who you are. Realize that. You've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's who you are. You are a man and a woman of God. You are a son and daughter of God. And when you walk by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want this list to be what your coworkers see. You want this list is what your spouse sees. You want this list to be what your children see. You want this list to be what your neighbors see. God has called us to live a holy life. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 16 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about the ditches. Where do we line up? Chad, is this okay? Is this okay? You know what? I'm going to look in Scripture to see if this is okay. The moment you go to Scripture to see if something's okay for you to do, you're not looking for holiness. First John 3:8 says this, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. See, Jesus destroyed his work. This is why you and I have the ability to put to death the old self. Whatever we talked about, whatever list came up and you're like, oh man, I do have anger. Oh, I do swear sometimes. I judge people. I criticize people. I lie. God is in you so you can put that to death. You walk in that victory. I shared this with you a few weeks ago, but in the springtime, God revealed this to me, that we talk all the time in church and we say this, that your strength is in the Lord. That is true. But Scripture tells us that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. I want you to walk out of here with this confidence. This is what God showed me and has changed me ever since. Yes, your strength is in the Lord. But his strength is in you. I don't have to go looking for it. I don't have to go find it. I don't have to make sure I connected all the religious dots today to make sure I'm in a good standing with God. No, his Spirit's in me. So all of that stuff, that's my old self, I can put to death because his spirit is in me. See, if you want the fruit of the spirit in your life, Jesus told us in John 15 that he is the vine. If you and I are connected to him, the scripture tells us that you will bear fruit. You will bear it. It naturally comes. So you and I have to do really two things to bear fruit. We need to die to ourselves. That's hard. I don't want you to sit there and be like, well, that's easy for him to say he's a pastor. No, I am a guy. I am a man. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. His spirit lives in me. The only difference between you and me is what we do for a living. That's it. God has called me to do this, but I have to stay connected to him so I have the strength to do it. But when I'm connected to him, the fruit comes. So you and I, we need to die to ourselves, and we need to obey Christ by being connected to him. When we renew our minds from this world to the things of God, we can walk in his will. And his will for us is to share what we have. He wants us to share. That's why he called it the Great Commission. That's why he called it the Great Commission. You see this in Matthew 10 when he sends out the 12, and Luke 10 when he sends out the 72. And then he tells us this in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have been called to go and make disciples. Paul instructed people to imitate him as he imitated Christ. This is how you and I are supposed to disciple people. We live a holy life and we do life with others so they can learn. See, many of us, we don't want to disciple other people because we're worried they're going to see who we are. Now, some of us, we're actually okay with that. We're at a point where we're like, you know what, as a good Christian, I'm going to have people follow me and all the things that are wrong with me, they're just going to see how God is still faithful. What if God is faithful enough to change you from all the things you struggle with? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think you have to get all these things in line to disciple people. But what if God's not done working in your life? That thing you have, you can conquer. See, some of us just don't realize that whatever we have in our lives, that our dad had it. And some of us look and go, well, my dad had it and his dad had it. So it's just kind of, it's who we are. No, it's a generational thing that has to be broken off. So therefore, your son and your daughter don't have to deal with it. This is how we disciple. We live a holy life. We let others learn from us. We need to raise our own bar in our lives. Don't lower it. Raise it. Raise your bar. Bill Johnson, he says this, there is no commissioning without submission to the primary mission. We need to live holy because he is holy. We need to share the gospel of God's forgiveness and strength and power. See, Jesus taught and demonstrated that the kingdom of God is a present tense. It's a reality, exists now in the invisible realm, and it is actually superior to everything in the visible realm. You have to realize that it's here and now. See, our assignment has never been about what we can do for God, but it's about what can God do through us. God wants to work through you. See, the essence of the gospel, to do exactly what Jesus did and destroy the works of the devil. You are here to destroy the works of the devil in your neighbors and coworkers' lives, not to mention your own. To be any use of the kingdom, our minds must be transformed. We have to renew our minds so that we can be used by God. See, when Jesus talked to Moses and Elijah in the transfiguration of Jesus, the reality of heaven radiated through Jesus Christ, and he shone with an incredible brilliance. His body revealed the reality of another world. But what you have to understand is when it's talking in Scripture about his body being transformed, it's the same word that we find in Romans 12:2. It's the same word. We are supposed to renew our minds that reflects the reality of another world in the same way Jesus shone. You and I are supposed to be different. It's not just our behavior. Understand that. It's not just our behavior. But that our way of thinking is transformed because we think from a different reality. We think heaven towards earth. Not earth towards heaven. Heaven towards earth. This begins by the renewing of our mind, begins with repentance. For you to renew your mind, it begins with repentance. Now, for all the believers in the room that have served Jesus since before Moses walked the earth, don't shut me out here. Don't be like, well, I've repented. We're going to talk about it. I want you to be open in your thought process. Renewing of the mind. See, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Most Christians have repented enough to be forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom. See, conversion puts you and I at the entrance of an entirely new way of living, but there's a lifetime of experience beyond the entrance that many don't experience. You get through the door and you sit down. Bill Johnson, he writes and he says, they never enter into their full purpose. They spend their lives rejoicing just on the other side of the river shore, but never move in to take the cities and inhabit the promised land. Can you imagine if the Israelites crossed the Jordan, Joshua led them into the promised land, and they just set up camp on the banks of the Jordan? They didn't go conquer Jericho. They didn't take over the promised land. They just got through the doors like, hey, this is good enough. See, repent. Re means to go back. Pent is a different view. Think of it like a penthouse, the top floor of a building. Repent means to go back to God's perspective on reality. You need to repent so you can see God's reality in your life, not what you're walking in. That's earthly reality. See, many of us need to repent. We need to repent of the way we think. We look at life and our world through the eyes of the world. We need the eyes of the Lord. We need to look at things from the third heaven and not the earthly eyes. See, what you have to understand is when you pray, God hears it. If you look in Daniel 10, in Daniel 10, it shows that Daniel prayed. And then 21 days later, an angel showed up. And the angel tells him, the moment you prayed, God sent me with the answer. But then I hit the Persian realm, and I had to fight my way through the Persian king. Spiritual realm. See, there's earthly realm, spiritual realm, heavenly realm. He had to fight his way through the spiritual realm to bring the answer. Some of you don't realize that the angels are fighting to bring you your answer. Don't stop praying. Daniel sat there for 21 days praying. Well, Chad, I can't sit there. I'll lose my job. Pray while you're at work. Pray continuously. The angel shows up and says, I was fighting to bring you the answer. It was so hard, I had to go back and get Michael, the archangel, to fight my way through. That's why it took 21 days. Keep praying. Keep praying. We need to see things from God. See, many believers have no desire for sin. You don't desire to sin, but because they live without the demonstrated power of the gospel, many have lost their sense of purpose, and then you drift back. See, many of you want to know what's your purpose. Your purpose is to share the gospel. The reason you don't want to share the gospel is because it's boring. Did our pastor just say the gospel is boring? The way we present it, it is. Because see, many of us present it as Jesus went to the cross. He came from heaven to earth and went to the cross to die for your sins and my sins, to pay a price none of us could ever pay. And then when he died, he washed all of our sins away. He split the veil. We could walk into the Holy of Holies. And then on his own, he raised from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and his power can rest in you. What power? See, that's the thing. We share the gospel. And the reason I say that it's boring, understand me, the gospel is powerful. Don't read into it. The reason I say it's boring what we present is because we don't present the power. We don't present the power of God. Every year we have a car show here, and I love walking around and looking at the cars. You want to know the best part? Is the end. When they all turn on. Because up to that moment, I'm not a car guy. I don't understand anything about cars. I can drive them. That's about it. So when somebody tells me whatever's under the hood, I'm like, oh, there's a motor under there. But when they turn it on, I don't need to know. I can hear. And I go, oh, there's power under that hood. Many of you have power under your hood. You just don't use it. See, Paul in Corinthians says this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. See, this is a great statement. And when we read it, we go, yes, God's power. But what you have to understand, if you read before and after, this is Paul's confession. Because see, he just came from the Athens church. Not even the church, he was just in Athens. And he was speaking with all of their philosophers. Now you have to understand, Paul is brilliant. Paul is brilliant. So he's speaking with their philosophers and he's sharing with them and he's talking with them and he's trying to convince them to give their hearts to Jesus, to come and serve Jesus. And at the end of it all, Scripture tells us that a few gave their hearts to the Lord. Now, can I tell you something as a communicator, as a pastor who speaks on Sundays? When I became lead pastor, I immediately switched all of our staff days off from Mondays to Fridays. The reason for that is I know what I'm like. And so if I had Mondays off, and most pastors that take Mondays off will tell you this is what they do, I would sit at home and think about everything that I could have said differently, everything that I shouldn't have said that I'm like, oh man, should I have said that? That probably crossed the line, which happens often. So Mondays, I'm like, I gotta get right back to it. So I start thinking about what's next and not dwelling on the past. Paul is walking from Athens to Corinth. I will tell you the whole way. He was like, man, there's only a few people that gave their hearts to the Lord. I wonder what I said wrong. And he's processing his whole message. And what he learned was this. When I get to Corinth, I'm not going to try to persuade them with wise words. Human words. Because the amazing thing about human words is you and I can debate. You and I, we could look at a scripture, even a scripture that I possibly read, and you could criticize and go, that's not how I see it. I don't believe it the same way. And that's totally fine. But you want to know that we can't debate? When God powerfully shows up. When somebody who can't move an arm begins to move an arm. When somebody who couldn't see begins to see. When somebody who couldn't walk begins to walk. When those moments happen, they're non-debatable. Now, I will tell you who debates them more than non-believers. Christians. Some of you who have been praying for God to move in miraculous ways, we will pray for people. I'm being transparent. I have prayed for people in this room and people have been healed. And God-fearing Christians come up to me and go, but how bad was their shoulder? And then a few weeks later ask me, Chad, why don't we see more signs and wonders? Because when he moves, you question it. Faithful with little, faithful with much. If you give God praise and glory when he heals a headache, I believe you'll see people get out of wheelchairs. Now, I have simple faith. But if we ask how bad the headache was, why would he give you a wheelchair? Well, because I believe the wheelchair. Would you? We have to renew our minds. Paul realized it's not by my words, it's by power. See, your faith can't rest on human words or wisdom, but by God's power. Power is part and parcel with the gospel. It goes together. See, that is normal Christianity. Miracles are normal. Salvation and deliverance are normal. Revelation, prophetic insight, words of knowledge are normal. But to return to the original message, the original mission, we must radically change the way we think. We must repent and renew our minds. When we do that, then we will see the power of God flow like the way it used to. It's not a God thing. It's an us thing. Let's stand. Zach, if you're in the room, can you come to the keys or if you're in the back? Before you run out of this room, I believe many of us need to repent. Now, I understand. This is the problem when I use the word repent. The religious side of us, the legalistic side, goes, no, I don't have to do that. But what if you have to repent of the way you think? If you want your relationship with Jesus Christ to be powerful and reflect who he is, I'm going to invite you to the front just to pray. I'm not inviting a prayer team to pray with you. So immediately some of you are like, well, what's the point? So you encounter God. And you can say to God on your own, Father, I love you. I know you love me. I don't question my salvation. But when I hear of what happened in people's lives in the past, there's a gap. I shared this with my own prayer team. I have a group of guys that pray with me, and I had this revelation a little while ago. It was probably a year ago. I'm listening and I'm studying. I'm reading on people who've done miraculous things in the past. And I hear their faith. And I said to these guys, I'm like, there is a gap between me and them. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. I believe the same for me as I believe for you. That gap is not a mile wide. That gap isn't even as wide as this aisle. I believe for most of us that call Jesus Lord and love him, the gap between the life you're living, the miraculous that you want to see, and the lives changed around you is about this big. Why am I saying that? Because I don't think it's big. I think it's small. Most of us, it's right here. Because if I ask you, do you believe that God can do this? Your heart tells you yes. Now just renew your mind. And that begins by confessing to the Father that you've let the patterns of this world, the patterns of your experiences, influence your theology. So my prayer is that you won't leave this place the way you came in. Because I believe God has power for you. And that's what he needs to put in you to work through you. It's just the pedal at the piano. That's all it is. Everybody's like, what's that sound? It's not the stage. It's not me. It's just the pedal. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to close. I'll let you know I'm not going to be at the door today. I'm going to be at the front. Not praying with you. I might do that later, but I'm going to be praying myself. Because I know that God has power that he wants to work through me. And I want all that he has. Because there's people in my life that need me to be renewed, so that I can share with them what God has for them. So, Father, I thank you for the privilege to share this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you stir inside each and one of us a passion for your name, for your power, for your presence. And, Lord, that we don't leave this place the way we walked in. But, Father, we walk in your presence. You renew my mind. You renew all of our minds so that we can walk in authority and believe fully, completely, that heaven can come to earth now and that lives can be changed. Because, Father, you want to work through us, each and every one of us. And so, Father, we just give you today and our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. I invite you to join me.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.